Okay, sound three. All right, yeah, the reason I'm sharing this is because of the babes in Christ in here. The ones some of us, and definitely I, will be held accountable for if I don't do my duty. And this is one of the things that I share with these people that preach Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. When they get upset with me and they demand that I share these things with the church family, I says, I cannot share what I know for a fact is not in Scripture. And some of the fruits that have that I was talking about there a minute ago, which are very sad to look upon, is, of course, like I said a minute ago with the lying, 90% of the people, and I'm only repeating this because I want to record this, 90% of the people that push this theology that Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or just the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or he's just the breath of God, or the thought process between the two, 90% of them have no problem using lies. 10% of them won't use the lies because they have not yet stepped completely off the path, because lies are actually the language, the native tongue of Satan, and so when they start using lies, you already know who you're talking to. So you just walk away from it. Pray for them. There's no sense in even getting a discussion with them, because they're just going to come back with name-calling and accuse you of being prideful and hateful and all this other stuff, which, by the way, I was mentioning a moment ago. This is no different from the Catholics of old and the SDAs of today and the homosexuals of today. They all use the exact same comeback. Because like for years, I only shared the truths that God gave me to share with Roman Catholics, because that's the burden I had and still have. And the Roman Catholics, no matter how gently you bring to them the scriptures, they call you a Catholic basher, or they say you're hateful. And like we all know, if you're hateful, then why are you sharing truth? Because, see, here's the thing. You love them enough to tell them the truth like it says in the Word of God. And so use as much love as you can. Don't, you know, in other words, when they come at you with these claims that you're hateful, double check, triple check your emails or your phone calls or your words. Be very, very guarded. Bridle your tongue. See, that's one of the first things that threw my eyebrows up when I started seeing some people. And they weren't even members of this church. We had two or three that left in the last month or so, two that left in the last 2 weeks. That weren't members anyway. One of them was an actual student, had the pencil. And so they don't, they're not members. We don't have to do the Matthew 18 thing. But the sad thing is how the lying doesn't seem to be an issue with some people. And I don't want to go into too much detail here because... I don't want to sit here and talk about anybody, and this is about the truth, and we have to stick with the truth. And this is one of the reasons I want to record this, is because I'm going to put this on that new page I'm making, and the page is going to be called Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's remnantofgod.org/Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and it's already online, but it just says under construction. It's not done yet by any means. What I did is I just took sections from other pages on the website that literally discuss, is Jesus a God? And I didn't count them, but it looks to be over 50 verses. I kid you not. Is the Holy Spirit a God? Again, that actually looks to be over 70 verses, maybe 100. And then I got a little section called the Basic Facts About the Holy Spirit. And then I put a special section in because now, and I praise God for this. I really, really do. I didn't put the holy, holy, holy things in here yet, so I'm going to probably do that later. And what I mean by that is you got Old Testament and New Testament verses that literally declare, like for example, when the beings in the book of Revelation glorify the Lord, they go, holy, holy, holy is his name. One holy for each person in the Godhead. All right, so I didn't put them on this page yet. Like I say, that's why it says under construction. I am not done with this page, but it's huge already. There's that much information in the Bible. But for those babes in Christ, this is a warning to you. You have to understand this. And we have to go through this every couple of months in this church family, because we get new people on a regular basis. People that leave the church a lot of times will start their own ministries, and they stay in contact with us. Because a lot of people just don't like chat rooms, and that's fine, because you know, this is where we, this is our jumping off point, and that's okay there too. But the thing is, this is something that, and Fran noticed this too. Actually, she's the one that brought this to my attention. These people that preach 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 should not be in the Bible have lost the battle and the war on this one. And I praise God for what just happened recently. And I am actually going to contact Dr. Carl Baugh and see if I can't get a statement from him that I can put on the site rather than just having everybody go to that video, click the link, and watch 17 minutes of his dissertation, because he's a talker. And at the end of the 17 minutes, he actually declares, and just to put it in a nutshell, what happened was these people that declare the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, they say it's because 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 should not be in the Bible because all the original manuscripts removed it. Here's the problem. First of all, there's 2,000, 3,000 maybe, other verses that were removed by those same people, which is actually the Vatican. So when they say 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 has to be removed, they're actually in agreement with the Vatican, and they have to also remove verses like Acts chapter 8, verse 37, because the Catholic Church removed that one because they baptized babies. Philip asked the eunuch, to declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before he got baptized. So they removed that verse because little babies and pagans, when they baptize christen their babies, they can't speak. And so they had to remove that verse and 2,000 or 3,000 other verses. So when they say that 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 should be removed like the Catholic Church says it should, then they have to also agree that all the other verses that they said, and they can't say, oh, no, we think those other verses, just, no, you can't have it both ways. It was the Catholic Church that removed 1 John 5, 7, as well as all the other ones. But this is why I want to get a statement from Dr. Kyle Baugh. At the end of that 17 minutes, he brings it to a head and more or less says that, and for those of you that don't know who this man is, he's an archaeologist, he's a scientist, he's a creationist scientist, he's got a five-hour video and a three-hour video that I watched, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 times already, and this is back from 10 years ago when his hair wasn't gray. And this guy's got, he's got a lot of hair, and you can't miss the guy when he's who this guy is. He's a creationist scientist. He does have some theological blunders, but, we're all learning. But the reason I bring him up is because being a creationist scientist, he has a really good ability at explaining how evolution just doesn't work. And he uses modern-day scientific methods to prove what happened in Creation Week can be done in a laboratory and is plausible, which means creation really works, evolution doesn't. And a lot of scientists are clamoring to this man's corner. But the thing I liked was in this 17-minute dissertation where he goes on in this video that I have linked out on this new page that I made, as well as on other pages on the site, is that there's I think the guy's 98 years old sitting in the crowd. That man gave him the seed money. That man gave him the $30,000 that he needed to buy a manuscript that was unearthed. And when I said he was an archaeologist, do you guys know what that means? He's also a guy that puts together the dinosaurs. What do they call that? Paleontologist. Okay, yeah, he's a paleontologist as well. And boy, when you watch the videos, you have no doubt there. He's got fossils everywhere. And so anyway, he puts it out there for a reason. And he didn't even realize it was the first. And I praise God that the Lord moved him to speak on this one particular verse because it's in the video. He could have just said all those other videos are, all those other verses are now proven to be valid verses because this manuscript that we discovered, being archaeologists and stuff like that, and this other archaeologist found it, and so he purchased it, but he didn't have the money yet, and so he was saying, okay, hold it till me till Thursday. If I don't come up with the money, well, I guess you could sell it to somebody else. And he was hoping and praying he got the money by Thursday, and then somebody contacted the guy that was selling the book or the manuscript for 30 grand. Now check this out, because this could have put a little bit of a monkey wrench in the works. Before the manuscript was purchased, and I honestly believe this is a Roman Catholic Jesuit that approached these people, the guy had already agreed to sell it to Baugh for 30 grand. This other guy calls him up a couple days later and says, I'll give you $100,000 right now, sight unseen. You send me that manuscript. And I praise God that the guy says, look, I'm a man of my word. I told the other guy that if he can come up with the money by Thursday, it's his. If he doesn't have the money on Thursday, you can come here for a check for $100,000. The Lord got that money in Baugh's hand before Thursday, and he bought that manuscript. And now we have, in Glendale, Texas, in that museum, under glass, with alarms on it, a manuscript that literally states all those verses, including 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, were actually in the original manuscript. Which means all those preachers out there and all those Roman Catholic theologians out there and those so-called educated scholars. See, this is the thing. When they say, oh, all the educated scholars say that that verse should be in there. Well, when you say that, you just really stuck your foot in your mouth. Because when you use the term educated scholars today when talking about the Bible, you are echoing the exact same thing the Pharisees did 2,000 years ago when John the Baptist came on the scene and then Jesus came on the scene. Because there was a lot of people that followed the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees said, oh, well, you know, what we say goes. These so-called prophetic statements that John's making or the so-called statements that Jesus is making shouldn't be in the Bible. They're not really there. That's not how it's. In other words, they were just declaring the same thing that the people say today. The educated scholars back then were saying what the educated scholars today say. So when you say the educated scholars say that that 1 John 5, 7 shouldn't be in there, then thank you. I know where you're coming from, and I'll be praying for you. And that's it. That's all you can do. You're going to put your faith in man, or you're going to put your faith in God. And if you've ever done a study on the two witnesses, you'll know that the King James Bible was written before the two witnesses appeared. You know, the prophetic fulfillment of the two witnesses, which happened, you know, hundreds of years later. The Lord protected his Bible, the King James, without the Apocrypha in it, with 1 John 5, 7, and all the other thousands of verses that are missing. That was the only Bible he protected. When those two witnesses, which is actually the Old Testament and New Testament, were burned and destroyed and lay dying in the street for those 3.5 days, or 3.5 years, prophetically speaking. And exactly 3.5 years later, just like the prophecy said, the Bible was brought back into society, and then you had the Bible societies and those printers and all this other stuff, and the Bible went global, just like the prophecy said it would. Fire came out of their mouths. And so, but here's the thing. It is by their fruits you shall know them. This is what Jesus said. And yeah, they're going to get wind of this, but they're still not going to be able to contain themselves because they've already asked the Holy Spirit to leave. 90% of them have already asked the Holy Spirit to leave. Some of them haven't used lies yet. There's one that's actually out there declaring, and I emailed him 3 times, and I'm not going to bother again, but there's one out there that actually lied when he registered to join the Seventh-day Remnant Church and declared that he believes that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father are 3 separate gods. When, you know, when you join the SDR Church, we ask these questions before we give you the cloud in the chat room here. He said, yeah, 3 separate persons. But the Holy Spirit told me to put him on hold. Now, for those of you that are already filled out the form and I haven't gotten back to you yet, you're not on hold. Don't worry about it. You're just, I'm 300, 400 emails behind. That's going to be changing, by the way, soon. So anyway, because I got a different method of doing emails now, and I praise the Lord for it. So anyway, he said that. And then a couple, 3 weeks after wanting to join the church, because he sent that registration in May. And in June, he started spreading lies about me, telling people that I hacked an ISP and shut down either his website or somebody's website, which I never did. That's a bold-faced lie. I asked him to apologize and tell all the people that he lied about me, but he refused. And then he's going out there telling people that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. So, and the other thing that I've noticed here, we all have to know this, that this is a structured attack. It's either Satan himself, well, we also know it's Satan right off the bat, because this is a very threatening church to him. We're striving out of the perfection. And so, it's either a structured attack just by Satan alone, or I'm kind of leaning towards the thing that somebody that's moved by Satan in a big way, who's a leader in this false church that I exposed years ago out in, you know, the East Coast, they're sending people in here to try to pull them out. And notice, if you will, and this is why I'm so worried about the babes in Christ in here. And we have to repeat this every 2 or 3 months, it seems, but you do not give your email addresses out to anybody. Because then you're going to get slammed. They're going to become your best friend in the world. They're going to slowly but surely start sharing these bogus Bible, twisted Bible verses. Well, actually, they won't share hardly any Bible verses with you. They'll just say the verses shouldn't be in the Bible. And that's another thing, too, by the way. These people that use this theology, notice what they do. And for those of you that are new to this truth, a lot of these people are Seventh-day Adventists that are doing this, that actually claim the name Seventh-day Adventist, actually promote. Now, that's another thing, because they promote Seventh-day Adventist ministries that are 501c3. They come in here, and where was I on this? Because I have these, I don't want to lose my train of thought, and that's why I made notes, and I got to start looking at the notes here, because I keep turning my face away from the notes. Okay, the RSTA, and, oh yeah, that's what it was, that was. Okay, yeah, because I asked one of them, and, thank you, Lord, they target the babes in Christ because you guys are easier. And I'm not slamming you. What I'm talking about is when someone's new to this truth, even if you've been in the Bible 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden you come into this new light, Satan's going to go after you. He's going to go after you with blood glistening fangs. He's just going to go after you. And so they're going to target the babes. Now, here's the clincher. The reason they target the babes is because if they come against me or any of the elders in the church, they know that we can handle it, and we're going to, of course, expose them. And so when they come to me with this, they'll send, and I kid you not, 20, 30, 40 pages of twisted spirit of prophecy. For those of you that are new, that has to do with Ellen White. That's what I mentioned. They're ex-SDAs, and some of them are still SDAs, and they use a ton of Ellen White. And it's all out of context. And they'll literally say, look, we gave you blunt statements from Ellen White, which they never do. And then when you give them blunt statements from Ellen White, they ignore them completely. I think 7 or 8 times in her writings, she literally says there are 3 separate persons in the Godhead. She actually says that the Holy Spirit is a person all on his own. And it also states in the spirit of prophecy that the Holy Spirit and Melchizedek are the same person. That's why I have that sermon I did years ago called Who is Melchizedek? I got that page on the website that says Who is Melchizedek? And I got that video that says Who is Melchizedek? But the nice thing here is that, see, for years, all those people that we've been preaching to, that try to get them to realize that they're lying about 1 John 5:7, we've only been able to use Bible verses back in context. For example, that new page I put on the website, like I've got 50 or 60 verses in each area, like, for example, is Jesus a God? You got in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now here we see John the Apostle introducing the visions he received in the book of Revelation. He speaks of Jesus Christ quite plainly, and in the same breath declares Jesus is declaring himself a God as he speaks of making us kings and priests unto him. And he continues and uses the term and his Father. But it gets better. Romans 2:16 says, in that day when God shall judge the earth, the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. But who's the judge? Well, 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Well, wait a second. Romans 2:16 just said, God shall judge the world, the secrets of men. And then 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. Or look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, we all know that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, right? So that one's easy. Because it says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested in the flesh. But this is something that a lot of them missed this one. And I loved it when I saw the eyebrows jump on this one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, but unto the Son he saith. Now this is the Father, the one that they say is the only God. And if you notice in the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of times the kings are talking about the gods. Even Nebuchadnezzar, when he looks into the, Pharaoh. When Pharaoh sees Joseph and he says he has the spirit of the gods in him. Even these guys knew. Okay, but here it says, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And no, we're not talking Trinity either. There's a difference between a Trinity of Rome and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference, and I'll explain that later. But now here's the Father talking to Jesus. And he says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. There, you just called Jesus a God. The Father did that. He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. So there, God the Father is calling God the Son a God, and then he says, thy God has anointed thee, after calling him a God. So right there, there's two gods. Two separate gods. But they still say, some of them actually go so far as, well, that verse shouldn't be in the Bible. It says, oops, you shouldn't have done that, because what a lot of people fail to realize is, when Paul was writing Hebrews, or Peter was writing, you know, 1st and 2nd Peter, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were writing, or doing whatever, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. It's the only Bible they had, so guess what? What Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 is actually a distant echo of what's found in Psalm 45:7 that says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Paul was actually quoting Psalm 45:7 that they said should be removed, but they left Psalm 45:7 in there. So they can't get them all. They can't get them all. Now, and here's another thing. If Jesus isn't God, then why does he accept worship? Many times we saw people worshiping him. We saw the apostles calling him God. We saw what happened when doubting Thomas saw Jesus appear, and he says, my Lord and my God. He bowed in worship right before him, and Jesus didn't stop him. Well, wait a second, you know, they'll hammer and hammer and say, well, it's a different type. So wait a second, what about Revelation 19:10? What about when the angel stopped John the Apostle from worshiping him? John the Apostle dropped to his knees, and the angel said, knock it off. Someone drops to his knees in front of Jesus, and he's not telling them to knock it off. Or what about when Mary was impregnated? His name is Emmanuel, God with us, or God our Savior. Or look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Or some people say, well, Jesus can't be God. He's not equal with God. Really? Philippians 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's an awful lot of Bible verses they got to rip out. See, now this is the problem, though. When these people that use lies and insults and hatred, when you share them, because they'll come at you very gentle and loving in the start, which is beautiful. It gives you an opportunity to share the truth with them. And then when you share the truth with them in the same way that they shared what they tried to share, and you come back with them with the same gentleness, they will come back with their teeth showing. Right there, you know who you're dealing with. You turn around and walk away. You say, okay, fine, I'll pray for you. Because by their fruits you shall know them. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Or how about the rich man that called Jesus good master? And then Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one that is God. And then Jesus went forward to go ahead and to echo or repeat the last six commandments. Why didn't he say the first four? Because the guy just called him good master. The guy already knew about, you know, commandment number 1, 2, 3, and 4, which deals with our relationship with God. So he already knew who Jesus was. What he had to learn is how to deal with each other. That's what commandment number 5 to 10 is all about. Our relationship with each other. But we've got all sorts of, let's look at the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit of the God. Now, so we know, because Jesus is, but check this out. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, but Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Remember when Ananias held back a couple of bucks, him and his wife were privy to it, when the Christian church was beginning and they were holding all things in common, And that's why the devil convinced the government and the people of the day to start calling that evil. When brothers and sisters of the faith have dwelt together, it's a righteous and beautiful thing according to the scriptures. But they call it a commune or a cult now. And so anyway, Ananias and Sapphira decided to sell everything they had and kept a couple of bucks back just in case this Christianity thing wasn't working out. But they didn't say any of that. They just lied to the Holy Ghost, and they were going to tell, you know, Peter, yeah, that's all, yeah, we sold the house for that. Yeah, that's all the money that we got. Sorry, that's it. That's all of it. Peter says, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Well, wait, if the Holy Ghost is just the breath of God or a joint thought process between, you know, the Father and the Son, then how is it possible to lie to the Holy Ghost? But look what Peter says later at the end of the verse. He says, Satan filled thine heart to the light of the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto, the breath of God, but unto a thought process between the Father and the Son. No. Peter said, thou hast lied not unto men, but unto God. He just called the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here's some characteristics of the Spirit. I'll go through this quickly. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says the Spirit is eternal. Luke 1:35 says the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit actually has a mind, according to Romans 8:27. The Holy Spirit helped to settle questions during the church council at Jerusalem in Acts 15:28 because it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. If it's just a breath, what's going on here? The Holy Spirit dispenses gifts to different individuals according as He wills. Because 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11 says that. It says, given by the Spirit, and the last three words of that passage is, as He will. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus and sent Him out to preach the gospel. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Him. And He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, Jesus said. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Or how about the Lord God and His Spirit? Isaiah 48:16. We already went over the impregnation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and how He acted. Because the Holy Ghost that shall come onto thee and the... Now, here's the thing. You got to hear this. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 5, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be called great. He shall be the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Okay. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel who's saying all that. She says, how shall this be, seeing I knoweth no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So again, we see the Father and the Holy Spirit being mentioned separately. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, testifies of Jesus. Well, if it's just the breath or thought process of God, how come when the Comforter come, whom I shall send unto the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth out of the Father, he shall testify of me? How can he testify if he's just a breath? How can he lead if he's just a breath? The Holy Spirit leads God's people in Romans 8:14. The Holy Spirit teaches and causes us to remember the truth. According to John 14:26, he'll bring all things unto your remembrance whatsoever you said unto you. I've seen him do that dozens of times when I was on the street sharing my faith with the people the Lord sends my way. But if it's just the breath of God, it's not possible. The Holy Spirit comforts us, as does Jesus. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he shall give you another comforter. John 14:16. Why is he saying another? If it's just him or his breath. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of these verses, and I'm not going to go through all of them because there's just way too many of them. And that's why I'm making this webpage. It's for the babes in Christ. When you're approached by these people, you'll notice when you show them these verses, they won't respond to them. They'll twist them out of context. Or you'll get crickets. They won't respond to them at all. And then they'll send you more stuff out of context. But now there's something I haven't put on here yet, but I think I've got it somewhere on the website. And this is for those of you that understand who Ellen White is, because this one guy, I couldn't believe it this week, and he just left the church this week, and I had to ban him because of you know, the fruits. You have, I mean, because we can't have those kind of people coming in here and attacking the babes and lying and angrily evangelizing. You know, you got to, I mean, I'm going to be held accountable for the pulpit. So there are two people I had to ban this week. And it wasn't because we disagree. Well, yeah, it's partially because we disagree, but it was because of my experience in how this goes down. Because I've seen people, well, like I just said a while ago, the one guy lied and said he believes as we do. They're coming in here to infiltrate purposely to try to pull some people out of the church. But let me see if I can find, there's like 7 or 8 of these statements that Ellen White makes. And this is just for those ex-Seventh-day Adventists or the SDAs that actually come in here. And here's, oh yeah, I don't want to forget this either. And you'll notice this too. And this is why I asked the question of one of them 4 times. And I've got this log down here somewhere. 4 times I asked this person, who did this study for you? Because I knew they didn't do it. And the reason I know that is because some of these people that I was dealing with this week, I had been dealing with 3 years. One of them called me on a regular basis to ask questions because he was a Bible teacher for the SDA church and his pastor was mixing things up. And so for years, I kept telling him, you got to leave the SDA church. And he refused. And he kept asking me all these Bible questions. So he still had a somewhat babe kind of a outlook on scripture, some of the questions. So I knew that he couldn't really structure a study in any kind of in-depth without my help or somebody's help in the church yet, right? He was still kind of green in the faith, which is great. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But out of the blue, all of a sudden, he emails me and he tells me that he had seen my statements that I made that morning on my website in regards to 1 John 5:7, because I just put it out there in passing because something happened out there in the media and in prophecy. Prophetic event was being fulfilled and it warranted bringing up 1 John 5:7. And he says, I saw you say that this morning. And then it says, so I put together this study. And it had to be, you know, 15 pages if I printed it out. And it was 99.9% Ellen White. And it was all out of context. All out of context. And so how is it 1 second they don't know how to put together a study, and the next second, you know, because they have all these questions, and then the next second they're a theologian in it all of a sudden? How's that possible? Someone's coaching them. And so I asked one of them. Well, the other, I asked them all. But only one of them, after 4 times, I asked her, the 4th time I says, look, this last time I'm asking you, who did this study? Because I know you didn't do it, because I know the questions you've had for me over the last few years, year. And so she sent me their website. The people she sent me, not only are Seventh-day Adventists, not only do they have a 501c3, not only do they preach you got to keep the feast days, not only do they promote guys that lie on camera that are Seventh-day Adventists like Forerunner, Walter Veith, and other Seventh-day Adventist leaders, they actually, and I couldn't believe this when I found this, and I sent this to this woman, and it just was like, I didn't send it. That website that she sent me to, that preaches the Holy Spirit doesn't exist or is just a breath, also has Roman Catholic priests that they promote and, you know, like do this. They have this big ministry that they help educate children, and they promote it from that website. So there you go. It's really all you need. Yeah, amen. It's the spirit of ecumenicalism. Why can't we just all get along? So, they come to church acting as if they're one of us, then get as many emails as they can from the babes in Christ that they can get so they can push their false doctrine. So, you got to be very careful. They say Jesus isn't God. We've got tons of Bible verses that back that up. They can't respond to any of the Bible verses. They say the Holy Spirit isn't a God. We got all sorts of verses there. They say 1 John 5:7 should be removed. Not only we have a bunch of Bible verses that back that one up, as well as the holy, holy, holies in the Old and the New Testament. We also have documentation now that we have a manuscript that says, yeah, that was supposed to be in the, that was, Rome actually wanted it removed for the same reason they wanted Acts 8:37 removed. Because it hides Vatican doctrine. and exposes it. But let me find this one. I think it's on the One God page. Why they preach one God. So it's in the false doctrine section of there. And I go down. Why do they preach one God? And let's see. No, it's not. End time scenarios is one preach. Maybe it's someplace. Where did I put it? Does anybody remember where I put it? Because I had a whole stack of statements from Ellen White. Oh, maybe it's on the Trinity page. Yeah, there it is. It's probably the Trinity page. So let me go to the Bible truth section, go to the false doctrine section, and go to the Trinity section. People actually think I preach Trinity. So I had to put a, you know, on the top of the page, I put the Trinity of Rome exposed, because people just look at it and see Trinity. Oh, he's a Trinity preacher. Hey, read the page. Then email me. But they don't. But let me go. Let's just see. Yeah, here it is. Okay, for the SDA people. So I got to put this on this page too. Check this out. And I hope they're listening now, because the radio's jammed. Because I know there's a ton of people on the radio because they can't get in here. All right, now check this out. And I hope and pray that you hear this in the Holy Spirit that it was given. All right, check this out. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 new ones I put on just the other day, and then I sent them to those people. But I'm gonna share a couple of them that have been on there for years. The first one is from Special Testimony Series B, number 7, pages 62 and 5, from the year 1905. And it's also in Evangelism, page 615, paragraph 1, for those that don't have that other weird book, because that's kind of a weird one. It says, there are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized. Now, that's another thing, too. Do you get baptized in the name of, because a lot of churches do that. They just baptize you in the name of Jesus. He says, well, if you're going to really go strange, you should just baptize in the name of the Father. But why do you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? And why, when Jesus was baptized, did all three persons of the Godhead appear? They can't get around that one either. Jesus is on the planet, the Son of God, a God in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit appears as a dove because he can come in any shape he wants. He's a God. So he's floating in the air above Jesus. And then from the heavens, you know, from the Orion Nebula, the Lord shouts so loud they could hear it down here. So the Father says, this is my beloved Son, right? So the Father is shouting from New Jerusalem onto planet Earth. The Holy Spirit's floating in the atmosphere, and Jesus is standing on the planet. All three persons of the Godhead in three separate places on the planet. There's no paintings that I can think of where you see Jesus lifting his head, opening his mouth real wide, so where breath comes out, and they put in the breath, this is the Holy Spirit. No, there's a dove there. So, at least that's what John was told to watch for, right? Isn't that what he told to watch for? But let me share this with you. These are the new ones I just put on. The first one is from Letter 190, 1905. It says, God has never left himself without a witness on the earth. At one time, Melchizedek represented the Lord Jesus Christ in person to reveal the truth of heaven and perpetuate the law of God. Now, you got to look at that page on my website called Melchizedek, or the video. It talks about him having no mom and no dad. So, but yet he lived. So it's just too blunt. All right, this next one here. Is manuscript 66, 1899, and it's from a talk to the students at the Avondale School. And it's also in Evangelism 16, paragraph 5. She says, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person, or as much a God as a person. Wait, let me reread that. I don't want to get anybody confused. She says, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God is a person, is walking through these grounds. Okay? Next one, Evangelism 6:16, paragraph 6, she says, the Holy Spirit is a person, for he beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And she goes on from there. All right, now, Evangelism 6:17, paragraph 1, she says, the Holy Spirit has a personality. Whoa, how can a breath have a personality? Scary stuff. But then, you know, if you ask the Holy Spirit to leave and declare him non-existent, guess what? The one who teaches you the truth isn't there. So you're going to believe the lie, or as the prophecy calls it, a strong delusion has come upon them. And it was prophesied. Does anybody know what this actually is? What prophetic event is being played out here from Scripture? Does anybody really know? It starts with the letter S. Does anybody kind of know what's happening here? Yes. Thank you, Sean. The shaking. This next one is from Special Testimony Series A, number 10, page 37, 1897. And again, Evangelism 617, paragraph 2. And if I sound excited, I am, because I love truth. I just get into truth. I mean, ever since I found Jesus Christ, I thought, wow. Because I lived lies for so many years, and when I saw truth, it was like, whoa, this stuff's much better. I don't have to remember what I said. I just have to continue in truth and always be blessed. Oh, man, I took that and just ran with it. But here's what it says. It says, the prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. She's making this too easy. And so the next one here is Evangelism 6:17 again, but this is paragraph 3. And she says, we are to cooperate with the three highest powers in heaven. Now, these are the verses that I sent these people, or statements, of course, from Spirit of Prophecy. They said they sent me, and by the way, I am going to post their studies that they sent me online when I get some time. This reminds me of years ago. Let me just finish this. We are to cooperate with the three highest powers in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the breath. No, don't say that. She says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these powers will work through us, making us workers together with God. And so, like I said, I'm going to put their studies online. I'm not going to say who gave them to me. So if you're listening, don't worry. I'll just make it anonymous. Don't worry about that. I'm not here to slam you, okay? I'm here to educate and try to help you. And so I'm going to put their studies online because I know they didn't do them anyway. Someone else did them. Well, one of them, I kind of have a feeling he did do it. And but he was really, really new and no one really knew him. But I just kind of have discernment that he kind of did it because it looks a little different from the other ones. Because the other ones are kind of like cookie cutter ones. I've seen them before. But I'm going to put it online. It's just because it reminds me of years ago. I put a page on the website saying, if you could show me, and I was sharing this with Brother Mark the other day. I says, if you could show me in the Bible that God changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, I'll give you 10 grand, because most of these people out there are all about the money anyway, right? And people sent verses, and of course I put them back. The reason I did that is because I was doing research for a video. I wanted to see how many verses the devil has been taken out of context. This took about a month. People just started sending, and I ended up with 7, and that's why I made that one video that I show 7 different verses, because originally I just had 3, and I knew there were more, because I had some in memory, but I just wanted to see if there were even more. And sure enough, because I only had 5 altogether, and they gave me 2 more. And so, but this one guy, because I was getting these little emails here and there, and they were all going, thank you, I didn't know that. You know, and they were all real nice about it. They didn't worry about not getting the 10 grand. They weren't in it for the money anyway. But this one guy, boy, he went top to bottom. It was like, and it's on the website now. It's on the $10,000 page. All I did is I put his study on the page, and then I put my comments in different colors. Or in a different color. And put everything back in context. He covered the gamut of all 7 of those verses. And it made it. I never got an email after that. Because he helped me without even realizing it. Because I took that in-depth study he did. And I put it all back in context. And then put it on the site. And that ended it. Well, this is. I praise God for these studies these people sent me. Because I am going to put them online. And I am going to dissect them line by line and put them all back in context, and it'll end it. And this is for the babes in Christ, because you are targeted, because they know they can't go after the elders in this church. They can't do it. Well, they try, like Sanballat did with Nehemiah, by throwing these huge Bible studies at you and demand you read it all as if they're somebody, and says, no, I got a work to do, be gone, you know, because I know what you're up to. Just the way they act, you just have to walk away. You can't play that game. All right, now, now here's a couple of other statements to this. And this is not even, now here's the funny thing about this whole thing. This isn't even a salvation issue, unless you make it one. And this is what I was trying to share with a loved one years ago when he got pulled off the path and is still off this path, on this path of destruction. He seems to think that we're always doing prophecy. I says, no, we're not. But the three angels' message is clear. And his three angels' message, for some odd reason, or his present truth, that's what it was, His present truth is to declare to people that Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Because his leaders taught him that. And after two or three years, he realized that his leaders were wrong about Jesus. So now he says Jesus is a God. But he still says the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. He says, wait a second. You just caught your leaders in a lie. You're still hanging with them? But anyway, this can be very, very confusing for some. And so this is why I'm putting this website, this web page up there, so that you'll have all the verses that you need to show all of this. And it'll all be linked out so that, you know, but check this out. It's not a salvation issue until they make it one. In other words, that becomes their present truth. That's all they're about. They're either going to say, you have to keep the feast days, you're going to hell. Or you have to say the name Yahweh or Yeshua, or you're going to hell. You have to keep the lunar Sabbath, or you're going to hell. You have to tell everybody Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or you're going to hell. See, the devil knows they're zealous. And he wants to give them some new thing to do so they can become important in the church. And that's why they get upset when you don't agree with them. They thought, wow, I got some gold here. I got this new pearl of truth and all this. And they come, well, you know, new light never contradicts old light. They say it's new light, but it contradicts the scripture. See, we aren't Muslims. Muslims teach that way. And that's another, why I got to put this on the site, by the way. Hold on, let me just put a little note here so I don't forget this. New light never contradicts old. And the Muslims teach that way. And that equals Rome. Okay. So, let me just save it. All right. What I mean is, for anybody that's trying to educate Muslims, and I did this years ago with one of my nieces, who, praise God, eventually left the Muslim thing, and her husband eventually did the weird thing, and now she's free. The Muslim theology is such that new light supersedes old light. Isn't that convenient? In other words, if you read something in the Quran that was written 1,000 years before something else you read, the thing that was read 1,000 years earlier or 1,000 years later, like closer to our time, that's truth. The other stuff has been put away. It's superseded by it. See, isn't that some of the neat things about the scriptures is that never happens. Old light never contradicts new light. But when they're moved by the same demons from the Roman Catholic Vatican, then they're going to declare that their new light does supersede old light. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying that this is new light. Well, says, well, the new light can't stamp the scriptures and burn it and throw it in the garbage. It has to coincide with it. So I'm going to put that on the site. But check this out. Like I was saying, this is not, and I'm going to close with this because we can go on all day about this. Sister White goes into detail about how this isn't a salvation issue, but some people will make it as such, but I don't know if she goes that far. But check this out. She says, this is Acts of the Apostles, page 52. She says, the nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it because the Lord has not revealed it to them. Men having fanciful views may bring together passages of scripture that put a human construction on them, but the acceptance of these views will not strengthen the church. Regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for human understanding, silence is golden. But there are truths, by the way. There are truths in the scriptures that we do understand. I can't figure out how Melchizedek can go from being the way he was to turning into a dove above Jesus' head to actually going inside my heart. I can't figure that out. I can't give human reasoning on it. And so she, like the Bible says, silence is golden. But there are truths we do understand. We do know, because she mentions Melchizedek being a man. She mentions that the Holy Spirit is a person. There are things you can mention. And the things we can mention, like we noticed last night, the plainest statements in the Word, put to rest the biggest lies on the earth. The plainest statements, some of the easier things that are found in the Scriptures are easily, you know, put the other stuff down. All right, let's see, what's another one here? I think this is the one I was looking for the other day. This is from Ellen G. White in Taking Up a Reproach of 1888. In 1888, in the General Conference held at Minneapolis, Minnesota, the angel of Revelation 18 came down to do his work and was ridiculed, criticized, and rejected. And when the message he brings swells into a loud cry, it will again be ridiculed, spoken against, and be rejected by the majority. So that's what's happening now. Right, the truth that we share is being ridiculed and rejected by the majority. We're a lot smaller than anybody else out there, obviously. So, Now, we can't give PMs to people that are, well, unless, of course, they already have the ability to PM. You have to ask them in the room. All right. And then, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 30, and this is where I'm going to end it. And I also have a blurb in here as how the Trinity Doctrine took over the Adventist Church. And, oh, yeah, now, the Trinity is actually just, they say there's one God in three persons. And they even go so far in some Vatican books and pamphlets that they put out. This is the Trinity is one God in three entities. Did you get that? But it's just one God. That is the exact same thing these people preach that say we preach Trinity because we say that God's a Father. God is a Father. Or no, Father is a God. Jesus is a God. Holy Spirit is a God. So they say we preach Trinity. He says, no, we don't. You do. If you look at the definition of the word Trinity from the Vatican, it's one God in three entities. You preach one God in three entities. How do we do that? Well, you say, because now they're actually saying that Jesus is God. But even when they said he wasn't, they still say that he's the Son of God and he's part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is just a breath. So that's three different entities for one God. You know? But where's this one? Okay, here's the one. Yeah, Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 30. She says, it is to say, to reject, to despise, or to minimize the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is a finishing of what she said a minute ago. To minimize the whole to the Holy Spirit will unite, or rather untie and affect dominoes. Let me start it over. Because it looks like it's part of the other comment. Yeah, okay, so it'll be again ridiculed, spoken against, and rejected by the majority. It is to say to reject or despise or to minimize the Holy Spirit. That's what they're doing. They're doing exactly, wow, I just realized this. I didn't notice it was said this way. Because that's what they're doing. Anyway, it says, will untie and affect dominoes in all the whole truths that have been accepted. Beginning by this, the Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures and of the Holy, and of the Spirit of Prophecy. So, wow, that puts it to rest, doesn't it? Rather nicely. Yeah, thank you, Brother Chase. That's a good one. Who does Christ pray to in the Scriptures in John chapter 17? Who's he praying to? If he's the only God, or if there is only one God, or, you know, why pray to yourself? Yeah. Like that. Okay, I get what he's coming at, like with the Trinity thing. They say there's only one God. Well, if he's part of the Godhead and there's only one God, he's praying to himself. Okay, when I went to the study, Connie emailed to us, it looked like it's saying that the Holy Spirit was only a second form of Christ, which actually denies the Holy Spirit himself, that he's just another form of Christ. Which is why I thought it was a very special form of the Holy Spirit doesn't exist doctrine. We're going, there's you, Craig, and Eli. Okay, good point. Good point, Alex. He goes, for example, there's you, Craig, and Eli. Then someone says, you're just another form of Craig. That someone is literally denying you yourself and attributing you to Craig. Same thing with the Holy Spirit being second form of Christ. False doctrine. Good point. So that's another neat way of looking at it. Yeah, that's just common sense. That's from on high. See, that kind of knowledge, the wisdom, is evident of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that kind of stuff ain't going to come from your lips. Oh, well, Candia wants to know what's the issue. Oh, this is an old PM. Okay, you probably know what we're talking about by now, Candia. And then Connie says we were breaking the first... Oh, I shouldn't have said her name. Sorry. Says we were breaking the first commandment. Pray for her. Because just to be nice about this whole thing, she's the one that didn't lie. All right? Out of the bunch that I was approached to, she's the one that didn't lie or didn't use deception. And other than to... I mean, she just sent me something and please consider this. And then refused to believe anything I was sending, which also appeared to be that she wasn't reading anything I was sending. And so please keep her in your prayers because she's under attack just like anybody else, but hopefully she'll come back onto the path. So please keep her in your prayers. She's a special soul, just like everybody, all of them. You know, all of them that are endangered out there. So, okay. Anyway, I just thought I'd put that out there. But yeah, the new page is going to, let me see if I, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's under construction. I even have a yellow spot that says, add verses here or something, you know. So there's the page in the chat room. For those of you listening on the radio, because I know you're there, and on the phone, go to remnantofgod.org/FatherSonHolyGhost.htm. And I don't know what I'm going to title the page yet. I might just call it Father, Son, Holy Ghost Defined. I don't know. But we're not really defining it or defining them. I'll just maybe just call it Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Just leave it at that, you know. But that Godhead page is still valid, because that Godhead page is my way of approaching someone that believes this falderall. But this page, this new page, will be linked out from the Godhead page too. Oh, thanks, Fran. For those of you listening on the phone, I hope and pray that you were blessed. And we'll see you next week. Next week is communion again. Okay, I'll send out a reminder maybe Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, so that you can go out to get to market and get what you got to get. They ask you if you received this email about his testimony. Oh, I don't know, Denise. I got to find that 90-year-old vegan that looks like she's 80-year-old, actually. It looks like she's 30, 40. It's somewhere on my site. Somewhere on my website. I don't know. Just it's going to take me a while to find it. What I mean, I ask you if you received this email about the dead. I told him. Okay, thanks, Chase. I don't know if I received. I'd have to check the emails now, but let me shut off this recorder here. For those of you listening to the recording, I hope you were blessed. If you got any questions, just contact us at remnantofgod.org. God bless.